Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for each of you. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We got a horny episode, folks, today. It's going to be a big-time round in that. Let me start again.
We got a horny episode today.
What was that?
Okay, here we go. Ready? I'm all horned up for today's episode of Zero Block 30. Kate is in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Cons is back in New York. I am in San Antonio where it's a lovely 70 degrees, unlike our friends in Chicago who are dealing with negative 60 degree weather right now, which blows my mind. We still have five rounds in the magazine today. Round number one. They got a whole lot of soul, but boots in the Navy are really messing things up. Round number two, the government shutdown is over forever. Well, at least for 3 weeks. Round number three, cheesy Grenado Crunch Supreme wrap with the side of WW2 bomb, por favor. You won't believe what this Florida couple brought into a Taco Bell. Round number four, the most decorated soldier in military history has gone viral after 74 years. Many are saying it's his biggest accomplishment yet. We'll debate. Round number five, we hear a lot about veterans, but the suicide rate among active duty Marines is at a 10-year high. This episode is going to be presented by our good friends at Romans. That's why I'm horned up, folks, because they are giving you the pills that you need if you are like Connor and can't get a boner. Study shows that 52% of guys will experience erectile dysfunction or ED. A lot of guys think that's just the way they're built, but actually it could be the first sign of something a lot more serious, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, a heart condition, and so much more. Roman is a one-stop shop for men's health. They're with their own licensed physicians and certified pharmacies across the country. It means the whole process will be quick and painless for you. And they have brand names in there. It's like Viagra or the generic equivalent that you can get for just $2 without leaving your couch. To get started, all you have to do is go to getroman.com/zero and complete a brief online survey. A licensed physician will review it and approve it. And you send it to your request, and they'll reach out if they have any questions. It's that simple and that easy. If you're experienced, ED, go online, get checked out by a doctor. I know ED can be tough to talk about, but with Roman, it's easy and anonymous, and it only takes a few minutes to get started. To waive Roman's usual online fee, go to getroman.com/zero or click the link in the box that we'll put up on our Instagram page, and it'll be in the iTunes portion as well. Let's get going. Big episode of Zero Block 30. Lots of things happening around the world.
We were on the bus from Thursday till yesterday, but now we're at the big house. I was supposed to be sleeping on the bus all week, but it smells like poop too much, so I get to live in the house now. So
thank all right, God. Katie in the house.
Little do they know, it was me pooping in the bus all week, so that it could smell bad enough for me to stay here in the house. But I wanted to do a quick shout out to these Air Force guys. Our bus pulled up on the last day in Nashville to interview the Yodel Kid, that like Yodel.
Mason Ramsey. Yep.
Mason Ramsey. And at the house we parked outside was a group of Air Force veterans who every year pick a different city and get together, like 15 of them. Like they have a reunion every year. So it was the one guy's 40th birthday party, and they all ran out, and the guy knew. He was like, oh, Zero Block 30. They invited me into the house. Meanwhile, the rest of our crew's in the bus doing this interview, and I was like, yeah, I'll go into this house with you strangers.
So, I'm in this random-ass house. Yeah. Why not?
So I went into the house with these strangers. A lot of them were all so cool. They had been to Iraq and Afghanistan multiple times. They had all these great stories. Paratroopers, weathermen, like all sorts of things. They made me a mimosa, and they gave me a big old trash bag full of liquor to take to the bus.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Air Force. Much love to you guys. You're not nerds. You guys are cool as hell. So yeah, that was a damn delight. But I wanted to talk about a different branch really quick. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with boots in the Navy.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when I say that, what do you think of off the bat? What do you think I mean by that?
Little baby back boots, my little babies.
Yeah. So boots is usually a term we use for newbies in the military. So you're like, hey, boot, get over here. Look, that dumb boot fucked up in town this weekend, that kind of thing. But the Navy has a problem with actual boots, the ones that they're wearing on their feet. And it started 3 years ago. Navy senior leaders came to believe that the boots were causing people to fall off ladders. And I never really thought about this before, but I'm sure Navy people know, if you're on a ship, you're probably going up and down ladders like 24/7.
Dude, yes. And like going through whenever I would do searches for like bombs and stuff on ships when I was in Japan, going up is such a pain in the ass. And those things, you would think that they would make them like not slick, but a lot of the surfaces are pretty slick. Getting up there with like your boots on and getting a working dog up there.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, chaps, how do you get a dog up a ladder?
It depends, because one of the things that you have to worry about with training dogs is lots of dogs have, think about whenever you're in New York, you know, like, and if you have in the road where you could go over grates.
Yes.
A lot of dogs don't like to go over grates because they don't have the depth perception like humans do, where you can see through and know that it's going to hold you. Mm-hmm. So you would have to go and train your dog on ladders going upstairs, or ladder wells that we would call it in the military on ships, going up ladder wells. You'd have to train your dog how to do that. So some of the dogs just flat out won't do it. They just are like, absolutely not going up that. I'm going to fall through and break my leg. So you would have to throw your dog over your shoulder like you're wearing a scarf, Lenny Kravitz style.
I feel like that's probably not easy, because I'm picturing the ladders on these ships are not very wide.
No, it's a pain. That's the reason why. This is a fun fact not many people know. There's actually several dogs in the military fleet that are just to clear like submarines and ships. It could be a little Jack Russell Terrier that they would train. And whenever those would come through the bomb school or the dog school here at Lackland, all the handlers and all the trainers there absolutely loved it. Because you have these, you guys saw whenever we were down in San Antonio, the big silver kennels that they would pull behind the trucks that had like 10, 12 dogs in it. That's usually what they go in. But when you have a Jack Russell, you just usually let that bitch hop up into the cab and you get
In an ideal world, if I was a dog handler, I would have a Chihuahua and I'd be doing the submarines and he'd just be in my cargo pocket. And I'd be like, yeah. Bitches, all right, pop out.
Yeah. So we had a boot that whenever they would show up, speaking of boots, whenever a boot would show up in Japan, one of the kennel masters, the chief trainers there, I think she was actually the chief trainer, she had a Dachshund at home, and we would bring her when we had new handlers. We would put the Dachshund in the kennel and tell the new handlers whenever they got dropped to us, like, all right, this is going to be your dog. And they'd be like, what? Like, I'm going to train this Dachshund.
Wiener dog.
Maybe 10 pounds. Yeah, wiener dog. So we would get the dog out. They would put the dog to be like, heel, like put him in the heel position. And the dog would do it because he had a handler. Going through like the obstacle course, jumping over the hurdles, doing all kinds of stuff. And then we would say, all right, somebody go get the little bite suit. And then the handler's, face would be like, wait, what? Like, yeah, you got to get this little tiny bite suit. And we had a puppy pad, like a little bite bar for tiny little puppies to get them used to biting stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, get them. The little Dachshund would like fly around and go. And so whenever our staff sergeant would come in, this was when I was a corporal at the time, whenever our staff sergeant would be like, get in, be like, all right, Corporal Smith or Lance Corporal Smith, go get your fucking dog. So he would go, and instead of the Malinois that he had been assigned, he would come back with the little Dachshund. And like, are you fucking hard R? And they were like, yes, yes I am.
Well, that is adorable. Whatever you do, whatever kind of dog you're bringing on your ship, don't try to get them to go up ladders by giving them tiny pairs of Navy boots, because it turns out that the safety of the boots, very questionable. The Naval Safety Center has witnessed a sharp increase in the number of mishaps and lost work days in the fleet because of sailors falling off ladders, and they believe the trend started when they switched their footwear from old boondocker style to the new NWU style boots a few years ago. Over the span since they've switched, they notched 13,800 lost work days, 4,300 days on limited duty, and 500 days of hospitalization, the largest adverse impact on the fleet of all reportable injuries. So literally, people falling off ladders is like the number one injury in the Navy, and they believe it's the bottom of these boots like catches on them a little bit, I think, and sends people flying. And if, again, I'm sure I've toured Navy ships before in San Diego and New York, the Intrepid, I forget what the other one's called, but you know how cool, like there's no padding. It's all hard, sharp edges.
Yeah.
So I guess I just never, shout out to the Navy. I never thought about that before.
No shout out to the Navy. They need to get their act together.
Out that. What are you doing? Take the fucking shout out back.
They need to learn how to operate on ladders without falling. This is a problem.
In like 3 weeks, this is the second big problem. The Navy needs to wake the fuck up. They have two issues. We were proud of them last week about the Xbox controller. So we gave them a shout out last week, deservedly so, for the Xbox controller thing. They don't get one for this. They need to know that you need to have good shoes and that you need sleep, because that was a big problem with them having collision. People were fucking driving into each other because they didn't sleep. I feel like those two things are common sense. People need sleep. People need good boots. Round number two, the Coast Guard is, and we did it. The shutdown is over. But I kind of think the government pussyfooted this issue. Do you guys think that's fair?
Well, let me hear why you think that.
Well, because it took 35 days and it feels like they didn't really get anything accomplished, because they could have had the same exact bill go through without the shutdown, without all the stress, without 800,000 people going through what they did during the shutdown, being stressed about finances and all that stuff. It's just politics with people's lives. Yeah. Just constantly, constantly, constantly. Everything was the same as it was 35 days ago. It's just that you added a government shutdown and took billions of dollars, billions upon billions of dollars away from the gross domestic product. It's probably the first quarter that we'll see that has absolutely no gross domestic product increase for the U.S. financial markets across the board. Not great. Just not great across the board.
But so,
if that's the case, if that's your reasoning, Chaps, then yes, I agree with you. It's completely bullshit that they waited 35 days to accomplish something that they could have in maybe a day or two had they not just pussyfooted around with all their politics. And when you're talking about people's lives, the way that they affected the Coast Guard, especially among everybody else that was affected, it's just really a shame that they're willing to do that, to toy with people in that way.
Yeah, because again, some were forced to go to homeless shelters for meals for themselves and their families. According to a research center, census data indicated that workers will be owed $6 billion in back pay, but that still might not cover all the losses incurred during the month without pay.
Because people get back pay, but the contractors don't. Like, you have to be like an actual government employee, not a contractor. These contractors who went 35 days still doing their job, some for the most part, some of those people won't get paid back this money at all. And imagine, I mean, taking a tenth of a deduction of your pay for the year, that's hard for anybody to get over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
losing a tenth of your pay, even if you're a person who makes $120,000 a year, losing out on a tenth of that, pretty shitty.
No, I mean, because you're expecting, when you expect money to come, I think a lot of people are very regimented about how they pay their bills and how they budget their money. So if you just take one of those months away, it really can affect them. And the other thing, you know, back pay is great, and getting a big paycheck all at once is great, but it doesn't help for those people that have already had their credit affected, or, you know, possibly have their mortgages affected. So it's still very unfortunate, even though we've gotten it figured out.
We will say, though, that when you do get that back pay, not to make light of the situation, when you haven't gotten paid and then it's all stacked up,
you
get a big chunk. Chaps, you had something like that.
Yeah, so back pay, I think, is different when you're expecting it. It's when it comes unexpected and you don't know that you're going to get it back pay, which that's when it is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I didn't know. I've had it twice happen to me. One time when I came back from Iraq, for some reason, processing didn't do the imminent danger and hazardous duty pay. So that's like, I think it's $350 a month total and tax-free. And they didn't make my pay tax-free whenever I was in Iraq. So I got all that tax money back from my paycheck and the hazardous duty and imminent danger pay and separation pay. Because if you're married, you get separation pay too, which I think is like $150 a month. So I ended up getting back, I think, like $6,000 or $7,000, like total, after I came back from a deployment,
which
hop in the car, baby. We're going to Chili's.
I don't know what that money went to at all, but I had it at one point. And then another time was when I got out and I was owed basically an insurance payment after I got shot and stuff. So they didn't pay me that for like a year. And I got all that at one time and wasn't expecting it. So whenever you have this big chunk of money that hits, they don't even tell you that it's coming either. It's just like shows up, you're checking one day. Because if you're like me, like most dumb enlisted people, and I would assume junior officers too.
Paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Well, that, and you don't know how the pay system works, period.
Yeah.
Like you don't know how much you're supposed to get paid. I might have got paid the wrong amount my entire enlistment, and there is no way that I would know now. There's just no way.
Yeah, I never really gave thought to. I just saw what the check was every month coming into my bank account, and I never really questioned, is this correct?
I do it now. I mean, when I first started working at Barstool, I know that the payments were fucked up because it was way too much money. Like I did the math.
I remember that.
And I was like, there's no way that this is how much I'm supposed to get paid. But now, like that, it makes a little bit more sense in my brain. I still could be getting shorted $200 or $300 a month or getting paid too much by a couple $100 a month, and I would be none the wiser.
Yeah. It is a very fun feeling, though, to get a big, fat check at least once in your life. So good for these people.
But not when you're trying to pay off your Walmart gift card thing that you did so you could get food for your family, the line of credit.
Yeah.
Not quite as fun.
I don't know what they're going to do. Do you guys think that they'll find a wall resolution in the next 3 weeks? I mean, if you didn't find it in 35 days, you didn't find it in 2 years, you didn't find it in 10 years, you're not going to find it. Shut the government down again. I mean, just do it. Just pay everybody and just say it's technically shut down so everybody can have their talking points. Just pay everybody. Everything goes back to normal. And just say it shut down just so you can have your talking points. Because that's basically all everybody.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah, I don't really care if the government shut down as long as everyone's getting their paycheck.
I don't think anybody will either. I mean, because now you've done it for 35 days. What's the threat? Like, all right, we're going to shut it down again. It reminds me of that scene in The Office whenever Stanley and Michael get into it. And he's like, all right, everybody out but Stanley. And then it causes a big effect, and everybody in the office is like, oh shit, Michael's actually pissed off at Stanley. Some things are going to go down. They have a heart-to-heart talk, and then whenever everybody comes back in, and Phyllis says something to Michael, and like, all right, everybody out but Phyllis. The second time, it just doesn't carry the same weight.
Right.
They've already kicked everybody out.
Yep.
The second shutdown, not going to carry as much weight. All right, let's move on to round number three. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy, sell stocks, ETF options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge you up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission-free, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no annual minimum deposit needed to get started. You can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. Few easy-to-understand charts and market data in place to trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. It is so easy. I've never traded before, and Robinhood was the first time. They tie into your bank. You get options. They give you free stock like Apple, Ford, and so many others, Sprint, to build your portfolio. Sign up at zeroblog.robinhood.com. You're going to love this app. If you want to get involved in investing, get going at a young age. Build that portfolio, make it diverse, and do all that with zeroblog.robinhood.com. All right, round number three. There's a Florida man who finds a World War II grenade, tosses it in the trunk, and brings it to a Taco Bell. A Taco Bell in Florida was forced to evacuate after a man visited the restaurant with a World War II hand grenade he found while fishing. Police in Ocala, Florida, which I have lots of family members who live in Ocala, Florida, received
a call. Have you talked to your uncles lately? Was it one of them?
I would not be surprised, because doing magnet fishing sounds like something that they would do. So these people were doing a little bit of magnet fishing. And if you aren't...
What is that?
So let me set the scene of what Ocala, that area of Central Florida. There's lots of really shallow lakes that dry in and dry out like several times a decade. Mm-hmm. That you can buy a lakefront property, and then in 2 years, it's no longer lakefront property. And then in 5 years, it's lakefront property again. It's just the way things go in Central Florida like that. So because it's like that, people lose shit all the time. So I can imagine this is a perfect place to do a little bit of magnet fishing. And magnet fishing, it's not rocket science. It's exactly what it sounds like. You put a huge magnet on the end of a fishing pole or a net or something like that and just drag it along the bottom of the water and like see what you find. Sometimes you'll find, maybe you'll find a set of keys. Maybe you'll find an earring. Maybe you'll find an engagement ring if you're lucky, with a diamond ring on the end of it or something like that that somebody lost while they were doing jet skiing whenever it was really deep. You could do that kind of stuff too. But occasionally, and I guess in this situation in Ocala this week, a guy found a grenade. A couple, both 35 years old, had a grenade inside a 5-gallon bucket, which is the most Central Florida thing. Because I don't, what's the general consensus about what Florida is like for you guys? Because you're from Philly and from New York. What do you think it's like?
I mean, it's just white trash up and down the state. Just all white trash.
Flat, rude. Hot.
From a guy that goes to the Jersey Shore in the summer, that was rude.
When I think of Florida, I think of white people. That's all I know about Florida. Like, I never got deep into it. I like the white trash side. I've only been in like retirement homes where my grandparents were. So I don't really know Florida trash, but I know Florida old.
Kate?
I follow the @FloridaMan Twitter account, which just documents all the dumbest news from Florida. Uh-huh. And that's like the only thing I pay attention to. And it's like Florida man wrestles alligator while drunk on whatever. Florida man does it.
Yeah.
So reading this, I was like, this is spot on. My favorite part is that they take this 5-gallon bucket with a grenade in it. They're in the Taco Bell. And then in the Taco Bell, they call 911. They're like, hey, we got a grenade. Like, what? What are you thinking?
So basically, Florida is divided into three parts, where I think you have essentially from Tampa Bay all the way down to Miami. I would call that Florida Rico or the Dominican Republic, where it's just basically South Florida. It's its own little area. Tampa to basically Ocala would be the outside of that is Disney World, like where you would think about Disney World, where it's just that central location. Ocala North and the Panhandle, that's basically Alabama or Georgia. It's all bets are off. It's country as shit. You're
play that banjo music, possum.
Maybe the most churches per capita of anywhere in the country is in that area, where you can just go around. You're either going to find cops trying to get you for a speed trap or a flea market every 5 miles. So this story makes complete sense. I don't know what would you guys do if you found a grenade. I just throw it back.
I mean, yeah, at that point, what are you going to do with it? I guess maybe keep it as a souvenir, but there's no sense in calling the cops about it. It's not going to explode.
Well, you don't know. You never know. There, I wrote a story the other week about a guy over in Sweden or something like that. He was digging in his garden. He found it was bigger than a grenade, and it started to make a buzzing sound. Like there was something still functioning in it.
Now, so did it start to make a buzzing sound, or did this old Swedish guy be like talking like the Swedish chef on the Muppets?
And that could very well have been it. But he covered it with his body until the cops came. He had
hypothermia. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was ready to be the Swedish gardener, Kyle Carpenter.
Yeah, he was like, I'm protecting my plants at all costs. But anyway, so this is interesting. The one question I had that I looked at several news stories and that they didn't answer this for me is, why would there be a World War II grenade in Florida?
Probably because somebody was out on a fishing boat and was like, I need to get rid of this fucking thing. Nobody's going to go magnet fishing, so I'm going to throw it overboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Or they were fishing with the grenade. Some people do that grenade fishing, right? Where they blow up the...
I mean, I've never experienced Okinawa, obviously, because I'm not in my fucking 80s for the Battle of Okinawa. But there was a huge battle that took place on Okinawa, and we would do training in the jungles. We would constantly find old artillery shells that were unexploded ordnance, and it was a pain in the ass because our dogs would still alert on it. They'd be going through and be like, ah, no, nothing's there. And be like, oh, wait, there was a big battle here. Let's check. And you'd go over there and you'd see like the butt end of the shell sticking out, and it never exploded, but it still has that smell to it. Pretty insane. Our next round is he is the most decorated military person in the history of the United States. Cons, tell us a little bit about Audie Murphy.
Yeah, so Audie Murphy, over the weekend, it was the 74th anniversary of when then Second Lieutenant Audie Murphy did what he ultimately received the Medal of Honor for. And I won't read the full citation. If you have a second, you should read the full citation. But basically, there was a American tank that was on fire from a German round, and Murphy climbed into the tank, ordered all of his men to go fall back, and he got into the tank and started firing the 50 cal from the tank that was still on fire while he was firing this round. And he fought the Germans by himself for an hour.
An entire company size.
Yeah, entire company size. He killed or wounded 50 Germans, and he sustained a wound himself during this stand. But yeah, Audie Murphy, for those who don't know, Audie Murphy is pretty ridiculous. I mean, the guy, he's received every military combat award for valor available in the U.S. Army, as well as French and Belgian awards. He only, this is the part that I actually didn't know until I started researching. He only served active duty for 3 years. Did you know that? 3 years.
Yeah.
So in a matter of 3 years, he did all of that.
I love that, Cons, this came up for me. I saw it making the rounds because it was the 74th anniversary of his Medal of Honor. Mm-hmm. And it started kind of going viral on Twitter. And you did a good post on ZBT that really started going around. Mm-hmm. But somebody commented on that post you put up, and I thought that this was really cool. Matt Stricata said, most decorated warrior in United States history was 5'5" and weighed 112 pounds. Don't let anyone tell you your physical attributes are a weakness. There are more important attributes to have in life. This was a little guy.
Yeah, Audie very Murphy tiny. Not,
and the other most impressive thing to me was not only he was a small fella, he was young. He actually had his sister falsify documents so he mm-hmm. could join the Army. The Marines turned him away because he was too young. I think he was only, what, 16 or 17 years old?
Yeah, when he was down too.
The Army, Navy, and Marines all turned him down. They said he was underage and underweight. So, Well, no, the Army did initially.
Did they?
Turned him down, yes. And then he had his sister come back with the falsified documents so that he could get into the fight during World War II. And then, obviously, after his military career, he went on to have a very prestigious acting career. He even played himself in his own movie, To Hell and Back. And one thing that a lot of people probably don't know about Audie Murphy is that he was one of the first people to speak out audibly about PTSD because he suffered from PTSD, from insomnia. At one point, he checked himself into a motel because he was tired of taking sleeping pills. He checked himself into a motel and just went cold turkey for a week and went through withdrawals for a week in a motel by himself. But then as the Korean and Vietnam War veterans started to come back and they were dealing with PTSD, he was one of the first ones to speak out and say, hey, this is a problem that our veterans are facing and it's okay. And that was really one of the initial people who really kicked off that discussion. So he's really continued his service well after he was done fighting.
And on that post that went kind of viral on ZBT, people would comment underneath it like, we don't have people like this anymore. Now it's pussies that go and get treatment and shit like that. Audie Murphy was well on the record saying that he slept with a loaded handgun underneath his pillow. Mm-hmm. He got addicted to sleeping pills and booze. He had money problems. All of those things are what they check off for PTSD. Like if you're experiencing these things, you most likely have PTSD.
Right.
We have the most decorated soldier in the world, in the United States military at least, talking about how terrible war was. Because we go through and we look at his uniform. Whenever on that picture that Cons posted, he looks bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with these piercing blue eyes. Mm. A uniform that he's so humble that when the lapel crosses over, you can't even see the Medal of Honor ribbon on it barely. It's just barely poking through. Like Khan said, every single Valor Award that's possible, he had it on his chest. And when he goes through, they had him on for a Veterans Day show on an old Army radio station to try to interview him. And it's like us. Whenever we get somebody like a Kyle Carpenter or Floyd Groberg or Dakota Meyer, when he eventually comes on, we talk about their accolades almost like it's like a football team, you know, it's like pumping up these things. So when he goes on this Army show on Veterans Day, you think that he's going to talk about some of the great things about being a leader, how people look at him as one of the most brave people ever to serve in the armed forces. That's not his reaction. Listen to his interview on this radio show.
It was very, very nice to hear him say that. Just very powerful. And, you know, his legacy still lives on today in the Army as an NCO, you can be awarded the Sergeant Artie Murphy Award because actually before he was a officer, he received a battlefield commission. He rose through the enlisted ranks, and actually NCOs now will get mad if you refer to him as an officer. But yeah, the Sergeant Artie Murphy Award is still very prevalent in the Army today, given to NCOs who display all the attributes and qualities that he displayed, and you get inducted into the Sergeant Artie Murphy Club. So he's still a name that is well known in the U.S. Army. And as we said, you should definitely read up about him because he led a very full life in only 46 years.
And yeah. Since my shout out to the Navy got revoked today, I'm giving a new shout out. Shout out Shortfellas, because he was 5'5", one of the best sergeants I ever worked with. He was with 2-9 in Marja. He was probably 5'4", and the guys respected they would have followed him anywhere. Yeah. And I'm also reading, we talked about last week, reading about General Brute Krulak, who was 5'3", I think, and like, he's like a Marine Corps legend. So shout out to the Shortfellas out there.
Big fun shout fact, out to the Shortfellas.
last fun fact about Artie Murphy, though. He's buried in Arlington National Cemetery. He is the second most visited gravesite behind only President Kennedy.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. There we go.
All right. Let's go to round number 5. Round number 5. This one's kind of a depressing one. The suicide rate is at an all-time high. It's at a 10-year high.
Among active duty Marines. Right. Yeah. So I think oftentimes we're talking about Artie Murphy and PTSD is always in the news. It's always something we talk about. And I was racking my brain trying to think suicide rate among active duty Marines. And they said most often they see it's people who have not deployed. And I've been racking my brain trying to think of why this is a thing, why this is happening. And part of me thinks, do you think it might be because they look at people coming back from deployment and they're afraid to ask for help because they feel like, well, what would I need help for? It's these guys are coming back. I haven't gone yet. Like I've just been racking my brain after reading this story, trying to figure out.
I mean, that's a really good question because I'm sitting here thinking, and I can't come up with anything or an answer to that question. I can't imagine why guys who are not deploying, who are just in the Marines, would have a reason to kill themselves.
It really No. That's not, I'm sorry. I don't mean to, but I think it's not that. It's not that they don't have a reason or something like that, but it's that they're afraid to seek help. They probably do have a reason.
Obviously they have reasons, but I'm just saying, like, I don't even know, like, why they wouldn't get help. I think it's
the culture of what we do. Like, there's an inherent toughness, and I think that there's still this false perception that if you need to go get mental health treatment, it involves a weakness, and it's a little bit more understandable, I think, in the culture of the Marine Corps. If you need help, if you've been to combat and you've been to dangerous places, not so much if you've been. And it was people like me when I was in that caused that kind of shit. Like, whenever I would go, I remember very specifically there was an Air Force person who always had an appointment prior to mine with my counselor. And my counselor one day told me, he was like, yeah, it's different. Like, we have different people come in. He's like, obviously you have issues that stem from combat, but I have other people like an Air Force, this rank. And she comes in after, and she talks about how she had a stressful time on her trip to Chile with the band. And I was like, Chile, like the country of Chile. And I remember going back to my unit and absolutely roasting this person because they were in getting mental health treatment and they had only went to Chile. And I was like, what the fuck, this happened in Chile? Like, why would you need this? No, I had no idea if she was like sexually assaulted or raped or what could have possibly happened to her. But I remember being a huge part of the culture that was a problem. And I would say that around junior Marines, and of all the things that I did as a leader, those are the things that I wish I could take back the most, but I can't.
I think also something doesn't have to happen to you for you to be experiencing depression and suicidal thoughts. So I think a lot of times they feel like they need to have a reason to go, or they're ashamed to go. And I think you can still be a wonderful, amazing Marine, Army, soldier, sailor, whatever, and be dealing with depression. I've been open about it. I suffer from depression and I still function and I still get through, but I have to seek help for it. And that's just the way that it goes. But it is hard to take that first step. And especially when you're in, like you're saying, that it is so scary because, can I read this really quick? Mm-hmm. So the number of confirmed and suspected suicides in the active duty Marine Corps reached a 10-year high in 2018 with 57 cases, plus another 18 Marines in the reserves. And the sources are saying the service is concerned that they may have seen 75 suicides, even with extensive mental health programs available. Many of the cases are young Marines who have not deployed overseas and have not been in combat, a situation that has now being seen in other branches of the military as well. And part of me wanted to ask, when they say Marine Corps sources, they're confused because even with the extensive mental health programs available, I'm sorry, when I was in, I did not know where, if I had tough times, I just sucked it up because, and I wish that I hadn't. I wish that I had known where I could go at the time to seek help. Because yeah. I was afraid that if I did, I would lose my secret clearance. I was afraid that I would lose opportunities. And I had no idea who to talk to. Because it's like, well, if I tell this one person, everything could be ruined, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as chaps, it's like you said, and we've had people reach out to us and confirm that it's still, the culture is there. It's a career killer. If you say you have mental health issues, it's an absolute career killer. And guys are just afraid. And Kate, I have no idea, or I'd had no idea that help was available to me if I needed it when I was still in. So you are not alone in that. I think
not even just knowing it, but you say it's like a check in the box, you know, like when you have these stupid ass briefings that you go to before like a long break or something like that. When the reality is the culture is still by and large, we had somebody reach out to us via DM that told me this, the same thing. He's like, if you go in and you have a fuel op coming up and you say that I need to go see the wizard, then everybody just assumes you're doing it because you're a bitch and you don't want to go to the field.
Is that what they call it? The wizard? Going to see the wizard?
That's what we did.
That right there, that's a problem too. You know, you have a derogatory name for seeking help for mental health. You know,
The wizard.
And then that's not going
to
help either.
I imagine that's still a thing. If you're active duty Marine, reach out to us and let us know if they say, if you got to go see the wizard, go see the wizard. Because that
also
started when I was in boot camp too.
Whenever,
do you remember at boot camp, if you said that you were feeling mental health issues or if you wanted to kill yourself, do you remember what they would do, Kate?
They would put your bunk in the middle of the barracks floor. Yeah. So you're surrounded by everybody. You're the center of attention. And then people had to stay up all night with moonbeam, a red flashlight shining on you all night long to watch.
They would circle you like sharks. Like
every move you made.
With like two or three moonbeams around you, two or three flashlights, and it was actually purple. Remember, they would combine the red and blue together and purple, because purple was the color for mental health. So you would have a purple moonbeam on you all the time. And you got to go see the wizard.
Suicide watch.
If you're listening, by the way, and you're a mental health expert and you're like, you guys are idiots, you don't know what you're talking about, please slide in our DMs. It's just that this is me speculating because it breaks my heart. I've had friends who have committed suicide in the military, and it's just gut-wrenching because it's your brothers, it's your family. And when it happens, you feel like you are a bad family member. You feel like somehow you let them down and you wish you could go back in time and know what to do. But I think it is like, what the fuck do you do?
Yeah, I think that you feel that way a lot of times as the person who wants to help someone out too. You feel uncomfortable if you do see those signs like going through, because everybody feels awkward about it. I mean, if there is no comfortable way of going through and be like, hey, dude, I've noticed some of your posts, or hey, lady, I've seen some of your posts lately, and they're kind of concerning. Like, that's an uncomfortable thing to do, but it's something that we've got to be better at.
So, but if that's the case, I would suggest if you are a junior person or even, you know, a young NCO and you're noticing these things and you're uncomfortable about that, go to your leadership and say, hey, sir, hey, ma'am, I've noticed these things and I don't feel comfortable approaching, Joe, but I think somebody needs to. I think that's a responsible thing to do. And I think there's a big responsibility on leadership across the military to continue to end the stigma around getting help for mental health.
I feel like that sounds easy, but there's also the culture of don't be a buddy fucker. Don't be a blue falcon. And I feel like if you're off, and that's assuming that it's good leadership. I mean, so I know plenty of commands who have fucked shit like that up majorly. And well, I don't know. So it's tough. It's just
Maybe it's additional training for leaders, you know, NCOs and officers to deal with these sorts of things. Maybe we need to implement that into our military, into their curriculum, so that when these situations do arise, and make no mistake, these problems are not going to ever go away. They need to
the way that I view the suicide epidemic in the military in general, it's going to be like the culture of leaders or bosses with tattoos.
Our
generation is going to come up with leaders that are staying in, that understand and recognize that it's such a big problem that eventually the stigma is not going to be there, because you had like the olds who had that persona of its weakness. And I think that a lot of people that are our age are younger than us realize that it's part of the game. And if you don't pay attention to it, it will eat your unit up from the inside out. It just absolutely will. So we have to get it taken care of, and you can't be a little bitch leader and think that you make yourself look strong by insinuating that others are weak because they need to go see the wizard. I love the phrase "the wizard." I think it's great.
Yeah.
I still use it whenever I go. I'll tell my wife, like, I put it in our Google shared calendar. I'm like, I have an appointment with the wizard at 1 o'clock. And I do. Like, I wave a little wand in front of my face. So I think the wizard name is very apropos. All right, let's move on to Save Round Alibi. The first one, Kate, I'm excited for – you're actually going to go to the Rough and Rowdy, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going to go to Rough and Rowdy. I'm going to try to weasel my way into the events all week long. I know that the NFL has banned Barstool from going to Media Day tonight, but
– don't improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Right, so I'm thinking about going and doing some intel anyway because nobody knows who the hell I am. So I think I'm going to slither my way in. I think all week long I'm going to just weasel my way into stuff and see how I can get in the mix.
Shout out to the Harry Potter house Slytherin. That
was Slytherin. Yes. I feel like I'm a Hufflepuff in here, though. I feel like I'm a Hufflepuff. But yeah, I'm excited. The next time we talk will be the next episode that will be Friday. By then, that'll be the eve of Rough and Rowdy. So by then, I'll have all the scoops on what's happening down here in the house. Maybe a possible military thing going on Thursday here too. So I'm excited about that. And the only other thing, of course, I'm always giving them shout out, but even active duty can go to getheadstrong.org and seek free, no paperwork needed mental health help that like no one will ever know about. So if you are afraid or you're in active duty, you're afraid of repercussions or something, getheadstrong.org, check it out. No shame to the mental health game. That's my save round.
It's on the fucking retreat.